The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 619. Real Men of Genius. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers, pick up some of the great stuff they got over there, like the 60 Years of Mayberry, celebration of the Andy Griffith Show book, great book. While you're on the 60 Years, head over and get 60 Years of Laughters. There's a sweatshirt and a t-shirt. And if you really love Weavers, you can pick up a Weavers logo t-shirt or cap. So head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 619 is Dixie Griffith, Andy's daughter. Thank you, Dixie. I really do appreciate your support, and I appreciate all your support. So thank you for being here. I'm Alan Newsom, the host of Two Chairs No Waiting, and it is always fun to spend time in Mayberry with you. This week, we're going to start off right off the bat with This Week in Mayberry History from Randy Turner, because, you know, I love his topic so much. Now, if you didn't hear last week's episode, you're going to go back and listen to that, because it's part one of what Randy is going to talk about tonight, part two. So definitely go and check that out. But let's head on over and hear from Randy with This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
In 1960 alone, Howard McNear made numerous episodic television appearances in shows such as Alfred Hitchcock Presents, Maverick, and Mr. Ed. And he even did limited voice work as a doctor in The Flintstones. He appeared in 5 movies and a short film, including the 1961 films Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, the Elvis film Blue Hawaii, and the Jerry Lewis vehicle The Errand Boy. But it was his casting in 1960 on the Andy Griffith Show that gave him the role for which he is unquestionably best remembered. Howard made his debut in the Andy Griffith Show in Mayberry Goes Hollywood, midway through the first season, on January the 2nd, 1961. As we discussed last week, he had already developed a robust and varied career in old-time radio. In fact, while the heyday of radio had certainly passed, he was still playing Doc on the radio version of Gunsmoke when he joined the Andy Griffith Show, and did so for another 5.5 months, until the radio western ended on June the 18th, 1961. Harley Bear, who would later play Mayor Stoner in Mayberry, did the same. Howard also continued to provide voices for Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, and work in other radio series, such as Have Gun, Will Travel. McNear appeared in 8 episodes each of the first 2 seasons, and had appeared in 5 episodes of the 3rd season. His character was heavily featured in 2 episodes, Floyd the Gay Deceiver and Convicts at Large. The former was aired on November the 26th, 1962, and was the first to center on Floyd, with a storyline in which Floyd had misled what he thought was a sincere woman by riding her through a Lonely Hearts Club. In the latter episode, Convicts at Large, aired just 2 weeks later on December the 10th, 1962, he and Barney were held captive by a trio of escaped female convicts. Sadly, in December, McNear suffered a debilitating stroke, which affected his left shoulder and arm and both of his legs. Howard had never been lacking for work, But his popularity in the Andy Griffith Show contributed to an even bigger upswing in the then 56-year-old actor's opportunities. He had filmed a number of roles which were aired after his stroke, including in another Elvis film, Fun in Acapulco. I've always believed that a large part of why the Andy Griffith Show was so successful was that the people behind the show were legitimately, quite simply, good people. It would have been the easiest thing in the world to simply write Floyd out of the show. Instead, the character continued to be referred to until Howard was finally able to return near the end of the fourth season, and accommodations were made so he would not have to stand for long periods, and to later hide the fact that he could not walk well. His vocal pattern was slower than before the stroke, but it actually accentuated his already faltering speaking style, and to my mind, made the character all the more endearing. Before his stroke, Howard had appeared in 21 of 63 episodes, which aired after he was introduced on the show. Because he was introduced midway through the first season, had the stroke midway through the third season, and didn't return until toward the end of the fourth season, season two was the only full season he appeared in before the stroke, and he appeared in 8 of the 32 episodes that made up that season. Howard was actually used even more extensively once he returned after his stroke, though usually in short scenes to keep his workload light. During his first full season back after the stroke, he was in 18 episodes of that season alone. He likewise was in 18 in the following season and 19 in the next, though his health had begun to again deteriorate. In later appearances, it was clear that McNear was growing frailer. He also was having trouble remembering his lines, causing him understandable frustration and anxiety. His final appearance was in Goober's Contest, the last episode of Season 7. Aired on April the 10th, 1967, it is a bit sad to watch, especially when remembering the vibrant, kinetic character Floyd had originally been. But it is also heartening to realize how much the show had accommodated Howard rather than simply writing his character out of the show. Their decision brought several more years of joy to Mayberry fans. About a year and a half after retiring from acting when he left the Andy Griffith Show, McNear suffered another stroke. He passed away from complications from pneumonia on January the 3rd, 1969, 8 years and one day after he first appeared as Floyd. His old Gunsmoke and Mayberry friend Parley Bear delivered his eulogy. But that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. And remember to take care of yourselves, watch out for one another, and take Andy's advice, and go out there and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy, for that wonderful report. If you want to make sure you don't miss any of what Randy is doing related to the Andy Griffith Show online, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com, turnersgrade@gmail.com. And he'll make sure you don't miss out on any of it. Wow, that was, I just enjoyed that report so much. He talked about Elvis movies that Howard McNear was in. And he was in some Elvis movies, and he had developed a friendship with Elvis during that time. Elvis really liked Howard McNear. And I've always thought that was an interesting story. Kit McNear, Howard McNear's son, told the story about, and I probably told it here on the podcast before, but he told the story about Elvis phoning their home, and Kit answered the phone. Well, Kit was a younger man. He was probably near high school age, if he wasn't in high school. So he answered the phone, but nobody was home except him. So he answered the phone, and the voice on the phone says, "Oh, you know, this, I can't talk like Elvis." He said, "This is Elvis Presley. Is Howard McNear there?" And Kit went, "Who is this? Tommy, is this you?" I'm not falling for this. And he hung up the phone on him. Now, I'm getting several things wrong there. I don't know whose name he accused it of being, but it was one of his buddies. He thought it was one of his buddies calling and talking like Elvis, trying to trick him. And so he hung up the phone on Elvis. I just think that's hilarious. So Elvis called back and said, no, wait, it's really me. It's me. I was looking for your dad. Is he home? And he said, no, he's not here right now. Anyway, so it went on from there. And then, anyway, it's a great story. It goes on. I'll tell you the rest of it too. But Kit talked about when he was in high school or older, he went to an Elvis concert, and he had been talking to his friends that went with him that, his dad knew Elvis. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure he does. Yeah, blah, blah. He doesn't remember him. He doesn't know him. So Elvis, when he did his shows, had an intermission and would stop and go rest for a few minutes, come back. So Kit went down to the stage and had written a note while he was sitting up there with his buddy saying, hey, my dad knows Elvis. Is there any way, Mr. Presley, is there any way we could come back and meet you? And he went down to the front of the stage, and this big man was standing there, his arms crossed, probably had sunglasses on, just standing there, keeping anybody from getting up there. And he explained to him, he said, look, my dad has been in movies with Elvis. Is there any way you could just get this note to him? So the guy just kind of stood there, really no emotion, just held out his hand, took the note, just folded his arms back, and Kit walked away. And he said, he's never going to see that note. That's never going to happen. So anyway, the intermission happened, and then the concert had started back, and that man came up there that had been standing on the stage and came up into the audience and came over to Kit and said, Mr. McNair, and he goes, because his buddies were all dogging him. Yeah, you don't know Elvis. And his dad, or the fella, came out there and said, Mr. McNair? He goes, yeah. Sir, Mr. Presley has to leave right after the concert, but he wanted me to tell you how much he had loved and appreciated your dad. And he's sorry he can't meet you. Perhaps he can do it at another time. And so Kit said he just sat back, kind of had that smug look and looked over at his buddies, and his buddies were all kind of holding their mouth open and agape. And I can just see Kit having that kind of Barney Fife smug, I told you, kind of look. But anyway, that was part of the Howard McNair story. I got to meet Kit a few times, and he told me that story, so I wanted to share it with you. Another thing that when Randy was talking that really struck me, I don't know about you, but I didn't realize how few episodes that Floyd had actually been in. And this is kind of coming back to our topic, the real men of genius. There are a lot of people on the Andy Griffith Show that I feel like were on there all the time. There are 249 episodes, and I feel like they were always on there. Did you know, like Goober Pyle, he was on there a lot, right? He was only on 84 episodes. Floyd, Howard McNair, he was on 80. It's just amazing to me that they were only on that many episodes. And then it drops down. Helen Crump, she's on 66 episodes. Otis Campbell, he's only on 30. I knew Howard Morris as Ernest T. I knew he's not on very many episodes. He's on five episodes of the Andy Griffith Show. I knew that. And I knew how strong a character he was, as everybody remembers Ernest T. Bass. But I really did not know that Otis was only on 30 episodes. Clara Edwards was on 31. it amazes me because they're so remembered. It just amazes me. Gomer, he was on 23, but that was, he's Gomer Pyle, so he had his own show later, so makes it easy. Miss Ellie Walker, she was only on 12 episodes. I realized she was only in the first season, and it couldn't have been very many, but 12 is all she was on. I guess it's because we watch the show over and over, and they have become just a fixture in Mayberry for us. But so many of these characters were only on so few episodes. Briscoe was on 6 episodes. Briscoe Darling. The Charlene was on 5 episodes. It amazes me how few some of these people that we remember so well that they were on there. So I said real men of genius, but it could just as easily be real person of genius. But I think they were genius. And I think the writing was genius because we still quote and remember things from the Andy Griffith Show. Of course, we've watched it a lot. I have, and I assume you have as well. But it just stays with us. And those characters are so real. You know, Floyd, I was kind of amazed how few episodes he had been in before he had his stroke. That's what Randy was talking about. Wow, that is amazing. Because, you know, you may not know, but I'm a Floyd the Barber tribute artist. So I go around the country and I've been doing it since 1994, doing Floyd the Barber at Mayberry events and church functions and civic functions. And I've been doing that all this time. And I'm just kind of thinking, what if Howard McNear had not come back from having that stroke? Wow. I mean, he was only on a few episodes before he had the stroke. And then, you know, then they used him more as it went along there. But anyway, it's just something I had never thought of. And so, Randy, thank you for that wonderful report, because it is definitely something that I didn't realize. So going on from there, we got some feedback. We got some voicemail feedback, and I want to play one. This is from December. I'm just getting to it. It's February as I record this, but this is from December of 2020, and it's a question from Andy.
Hey, Alan. This is Andy Holly from Bossier City, Louisiana. Since I had a question, in all your years of association with cast members and associate producers and of the show, what on shows that characters weren't written into the episode, what were they doing during that time? Were they doing other acting obligations? Did they just have time off? Were they just not scheduled? And I just wanted to know if in all your conversations over the years, what they did when they were written out of episodes. I appreciate it. Love the show. And love the podcast. See you next Monday. Bye-bye.
Wow. Thank you, Andy. Thanks for writing in. I have talked to some of them about that, and some of them have just offered it up. It wasn't a question I had thought of. One in particular I'm thinking about is Betty Lynn. Now, Betty had told me that she was under contract of some type, so that she really... there was a lot of stuff she couldn't do because she was kind of obligated to some of the Andy Griffith Show stuff, but only for so much time. So what they did basically is they were able to take other jobs in between appearing on the Andy Griffith Show. Even some of the regular cast members, Ron Howard made a movie, as a Music Man. He made it. Some of the others had done things like that as well during the time that they were actually on the Andy Griffith Show. So they were able to, unless they were under a contract with the series, not to work somewhere else. And then in that case, they would be getting paid in some way, even when they weren't filmed. You know, they were kind of under contract. They were obligated and were not able to take other work. But some of them, they definitely could do that. It varied by person, by actor, as to what they were allowed to do and what jobs that they could take. But that is a good question, you know, because, well, like we were just talking about, Howard McNear, he did several things while he was still doing the Andy Griffith shows that Randy was talking about. He was still recording the radio version of the Gunsmoke episodes. So other actors, Parley Baer, did the same thing. So they were still able to do other work even while the Andy Griffith Show was in production. All right, so thanks, Andy, for calling in with that great question. And let's go hear from, this one is always, I get a yearly call, and it's around Christmas time every year from this wonderful person. His name's Peter Ackerman. He is actually Elmer Donahue's son. And so this is from, he called me right before Christmas this year, and this is his voicemail that he gave me.
Hi, Alan. It's Peter Ackerman, also known as Miss Ellie's boy, Eleanor Donahue's son, and my yearly call to thank you for playing my mother's voice as I remember her as a child singing Away in a Manger. And I was born a couple years after that was filmed. But boy, does that bring back memories to the voice that sang lullabies to me and all. And I listened to the podcast on a really important day for me as I finally turned into my agent my draft of the book that she asked for, which is Adventures of Me Growing Up in Classic TV with Eleanor Donahue as my mother and executive producer Harry Ackerman as my father. And so who knows what will happen with that project, if anybody will bid on it, if it will ever get published. But that was a monumental day for me, and it ended with me listening to a podcast and hearing my mom sing to me. So bless you all, and thank you.
Wow, Peter, thanks so much for calling in. I'm sorry I'm late getting to actually playing it, but it's a, I hope your book gets bid on and gets done, because I would love to see some of your insights into what it was like growing up in that community with all the things that your mom and your dad did related to television and during that time frame. Now, if you'd like to hear what he's talking about with Miss Ellie singing, now it's our Christmas episode that she sings Away in the Manger. It's episode number 612. Mayberry Christmas to All 2020 is the name of the episode. And you can go back and go to twochairsnowaiting.com and check it out and listen to it. So thank you again, Peter. It's always great to hear from you. Follow him on Facebook and kind of keep up with him a little bit throughout the year. But I usually only hear from him at Christmas time when I play Away in a Manger. So I do appreciate it. Thank you very much. And last up, I've just got three. This is from Cody. Now, Cody is talking about what we talked about last week, referring to it. It's from episode number 618, Mayberry Outreach was the name of it. And I try to encourage everybody to reach out to people and just touch base with people you hadn't talked to in a while, or just check on them and see what's going on. So let's hear Cody's report.
Hey, Alan, this is Cody Sloan from upstate South Carolina, Carolina Cody on the podcast chat. But wanted to give you a quick message here in regards to the last episode, Mayberry Outreach. Now, I kind of took that to heart and got in touch with several people that I hadn't talked to in a long time, either over text or an actual phone call. And let me tell you, that I received a big blessing from doing that, being able to talk to somebody and just have a nice conversation. And it shouldn't be about what we receive by doing it, but it's more about giving someone a smile on the other end of the conversation and giving someone maybe a little bit better day if they were having a rough day. And it's good to reconnect with people you haven't talked to in a long time. And I think all of that embodies the spirit of Mayberry and what you were talking about last week. So just wanted to share that. Appreciate the work you do for the podcast and keeping the memory of The Andy Griffith Show alive. And we'll see you next time there on Two Chairs. Have a good one.
Wow. Thank you, Cody. I really do appreciate you calling and giving that report. And wow, I hope some of the rest of you may have done that as well. I hope you were able to do it with somebody that you know. Because Cody's right, it's not about you, but it is about those that you reach out to. And it's going to make you feel good. You heard Cody. It's going to make you feel good. I did that a few times this week. I tried to listen to my own advice, do that Mayberry outreach, reach out and just let people know you care about them and talk to them and see how they're doing and just see what that does. So I still encourage you to do that and head out to do that. So thanks to everybody that called. We got a lot more feedback. It's written and I'll try to gather that together and make sure it's in a really an episode fairly soon here in the future. So thanks. I am reading all the feedback, listening to all the feedback. So definitely please give me a call at 888-684-8415. You can rewind that if you didn't get the number and let me know what you're thinking. I love to hear from you, especially voicemails. I love hearing your voices and it just makes me happy. So hope it makes you happy hearing from these folks as well. All right. So we got one last little thing, and the real men of genius, as I said, all these actors and actresses from the Andrew Griffith Show. Wow. They are definitely real men of genius, real people of genius. Their performances, the writing, all of that was just, man, it was just amazing. But I got to admit, the reason that I have this as the title is in the last week or so, I ran across a video of my friend, Rick Roberts. I've been listening to his comedy CDs and stuff. He's a comedian, and he's going to be Barney in the upcoming Mayberry Man movie. So I've been kind of, well, I'm stalking him, I guess. I don't know what you call it. But he makes me laugh. He's clean, and I enjoy it. So I've been listening to his CDs. And I ran across this video that I know you're going to love, and it is Real Men of Genius. If you guys ever heard those commercials on the radio, this is his version, and this is actually Rick singing. So check this out, Real Men of Genius, Barney Fife impersonators. This is great.
LifeIsMyLife.com presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Barney Fife impersonator.
Barney Fife impersonator.
Wielding two hands like lethal weapons, mugging and bugging like Don Knotts in a staring contest, you're living the real American dream.
Dreamer.
Getting paid to pretend to be someone else, more famous.
Citizens arrest.
Sure, there's danger. Rock throwers, jaywalkers, double parkers, litter bugs, and loiterers, all failing to live by the book.
Nip it in the bud.
Your keen instincts lead you. You've got the nose of a bloodhound, eyes like a hawk.
Hawkeyes.
Not much gets by you. And if it does, at least your name isn't Goober. So crack open a jar of kerosene cucumbers, oh fidgety one, cause we all know this ain't Mayberry and you ain't got but one thing. LifeIsMyLife.com, Nashville, Tennessee.
I love it. So that's him singing. I don't know who the voiceover is, but it is so much like those old commercials that used to come out. They were Bud Light. I think I'm not endorsing the drinking. Otis liked it, but not me. But it was Bud Light did Real Men of Genius. And that was just, I think that was from 2011 that Rick had done that. And it is, I smile and laugh every time I watch it. So thank you, Rick. Rick, you can find him at fifeismylife.com, or if you can head over to Rick, it's R-I-K Roberts, rickroberts.com. And check out what Rick's doing. So, oh, he's a great guy. So I really appreciate it. So thanks. Thank him for letting me show that. That video is on YouTube. If you'd like to find it, it will be in our show notes, or you can probably just search for Real Men of Genius, Barney Fife impersonator, and you'll find it. It's absolutely great. So, wow. I'm happy. I hope you are. That's the kind of stuff I enjoy is those kind of things. Oh man, I love it. Guys, I hope you guys enjoyed the show tonight. I hope you have reached out to people in the last week or so. I'd like to hear about it. If you have, give me a call at 888-684-8415 or email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I would love to hear from you. And you know, just go out there and have some fun. Enjoy the Andy Griffith Show. Share your joy with other people. You know, they're going to get happiness out of it too. Or they'll think you're crazy and make you run away, but you'll be happy. So, so have a great week. And we'll see you next time right here on Two Chairs. Good night, everybody.